भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 Chapter 7, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, text number 21.
Purushatve cha maam dhira, Sankhya yoga visharadi, Sankhya yoga visharada, avistaram prapashyanti, सर्वशक्त्युपब्रह्मितम्। पुरुषत्वे च माम धीरा सांख्य योग विशारदा आविस्तराम प्रपश्यन्ति सर्वशक्त्युपब्रह्मितम्। पुरुषत्वे च माम धीरा सांख्य योग विशारदा आविस्तराम प्रपश्यन्ति सर्वशक्त्युपब्रह्मितम्। సాంఖ్య యోగ విశారద పురుషత్వే చ మాం ధీరా పురుషత్వే చ మాం ధీరా
మాతాజీ
పురుషత్వే చ మాం ధీరా
word to word translation. Purushatve, in the human form of life, cha and mam, me, dhira, those free from envy through spiritual knowledge, sankhya yoga, in the spiritual science composed of analytical knowledge and devotion to the Supreme. Visharada, who are expert. Avistaram, directly manifest. Prapashyanti, they clearly see. Sarva, all, Shakti, with my energies. Upabrahmitam, fully endowed. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: in the human form of life, those who are self-controlled and expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya can directly see me along with all of my potencies. Purport: we find the following statement in the Vedas. Purushatve chavistaram atma sahita prajnanena sampannatamo vijnatam vadati vijnatam pashyati veda shvastanam veda loka lokau martyenamritam ipsatyevam sampanno tetaresham pashunam ashana pipase evabhijnanam. In the human form of life, the soul is fully endowed with intelligence to understand spiritual knowledge. Thus, in human life, the soul may speak realized knowledge, see the truth, know the future, and also understand the reality of both of this world and of the next. Taking advantage of the experience of mortal life, the soul in human form may endeavor for immortality. And the human body is fully equipped to achieve this end. In such an elevated state, the soul is certainly well acquainted with the ordinary activities of animals, such as eating and drinking. The human form of life is very significant because it affords us the opportunity to perfect our existence. The Sankhya system mentioned here is best illustrated by the instructions of Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti. Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mother appreciated him, saying, Nirvinna Nitaram, and his mother approached him, saying, Nirvinna Nitaram Bhuman Asad Indriya Tarshanat Yena Sambhavya Manena Prapannandam Tama Prabhu. I am very sick of the disturbance caused by my material senses, for because of the sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Lord Kapila delivered to his mother a highly analytical summary of all material and spiritual reality. It is significant that Lord Kapila did not discriminate against his mother because she was a woman, nor did he consider her incapable of understanding the most elaborate spiritual knowledge. Thus, in a Krishna-conscious society of liberated souls, any man, woman, or child may become a great devotee of Krishna without discrimination. It is also significant that in the highly intellectual Sankhya system enunciated by Lord Kapila, the solid conclusion is surrender to the lotus feet of the pure devotees and love of Godhead. In Lord Kapila's instructions in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he emphasizes the need to take shelter of the pure devotees of the Lord. In the present verse, Lord Krishna says, Sankhya Yoga Visharada, those who are expert in taking shelter of pure devotees and who can thus understand the actual situation of this world, are able to see Krishna in his personal form along with his internal and external potencies. ஓம ஜானத்திமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜானாஞ்சன ஷலாகய சக்ஷுரோன் மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நம. நம ஓம் விஷ்ணு பாதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேஷ்ணாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமிநிதி நாமினே. நமஸ்தே சாரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷா சூன்யவாதி பாஷாதி தசதாரிணே ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீயத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்தவிருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. So Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava this particular verse which you're reading today. Krishna says that Purushatvecha Mam Dira Sankhya Yoga Visharada Avistaram Prapashyanti Sarvashakti Upabrahmhitam. Purushatve, that means in the human form of life. Dira, that means those who are self-controlled. Or Dira is also translated as those who are without envy. Those who are without envy. Those who are self-controlled and those who are without envy. And then Sankhya Yoga Visharada. Visharada means expert. Those who are expert in the Sankhya Yoga, the analytical knowledge of and devotion to the Supreme. So we can see four qualities are mentioned. In the human form, those who are without envy, those who are self-controlled, and who are expert in Sankhya Yoga. And such people, avistaram prapashyanti. Prapashyanti means they can clearly see. What can they clearly see? Sarva shakti upabrahmhitam. They can clearly see the Supreme Lord along with all of his energies. Supreme Lord along with all of my energies, Krishna is saying that. So, we can find here in this particular purport, we just read part of the purport. The other part will be covered tomorrow. We find here one thing which is being emphasized over here is that the speciality of the human form of life, which comes time and again in the scriptures about the human form of life. Prabhupada mentions, in different places, he mentions different things about the speciality of the human form of life. One thing he says that human life is a life of responsibility. In animal life, there is no responsibility involved. Human life is a life of responsibility because greater facilities are given. Whenever somebody is given greater facilities, then one also has to take greater responsibility. And another place he says that the difference between human life and animal life lies only in the hearing process. Because animals can hear, but what Prabhupada is saying is that animals cannot hear the spiritual knowledge. They cannot hear scriptures. But human beings can hear scriptures. Another place he says that only human beings can actually inquire about the absolute truth. Animals cannot inquire. And human life is basically a life of dharma. So there is no concept of dharma in the animal life. These are some points which Prabhupada explains in different places. So here it said that when a person in the human form of life, one should actually utilize this opportunity. And the Sankhya Yoga is explained by Lord Kapila to Mother Devahuti. So Sankhya Yoga is a very analytical description of the material world, the analytical description of the different elements. But an interesting point it is explained is that although Kapila Dev is describing so many analytical description of the material elements, but the conclusion of Sankhya Yoga is surrender to the Lord. Conclusion of Sankhya Yoga is surrender to the Lord. So therefore, we find that even in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that Satyam Param Dhimahi, the first verse of the Bhagavatam, last phrase. So it is said that Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. That means the different verses of the Vedanta Sutra, they are explained in the different verses of the Bhagavatam. The first verse of the Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire about the Brahman. So where is it mentioned in the, where is it actually explained in the Bhagavatam? So Atato Brahma Jigyasa is explained in the phrase Satyam Param Dhimahi. So one may wonder, Atato Brahma Jigyasa is one should inquire about the Brahman. But then the Bhagavatam is saying that Satyam Param Dhimahi, we should meditate upon the Satyam Param, the Param Satya. But the understanding given is that the purpose of inquiry is to meditate. The purpose of inquiry, purpose of inquiring about the Brahman is ultimately meditate on the absolute truth. So it is not that the purpose of inquiry is to simply accumulate some information and to get some intellectual satisfaction. No, the purpose of inquiry is to ultimately to meditate on Brahman. Meditate on Brahman means ultimately to actually serve the Lord and surrender to the Lord. So that is why in the Uddhava Gita, there's a verse which is quoted in this regard, that one may study all the Shastras, but after studying all the Shastras, if a person does not come to the point of serving the Lord, then it is like putting so much of effort to maintain a cow that does not give milk. Of course, it is not advocating the utilitarian aspect of, okay, it's not that you just maintain the cow just for getting the milk. Because we serve the cow as a mother, even if it doesn't give milk. But the analogy which is being emphasized over here is that generally to maintain a cow, a lot of effort is required. In the sense, you need to protect from the other animals, you need to take it for grazing, and then the gocharan bhumi, it has to be like covered with the other fences, etc. So much of effort is required. But after that, if it does not give milk, so similarly, if a person studies all the Shastra, but if he does not come to the point of Satyam Param Dhimahi, that means meditating on the Supreme Lord or surrendering to the Lord, then what is the use? In one class, Sudhalan's Radhanath Maharaj was explaining, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Japastapa Apranasyaiva Jivasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That without bhakti to the Supreme Lord, performance of tapasya, different chanting of the mantras, all these things, they are like a decorating a dead body. So he said that even if a person has a lot of scriptural knowledge, but the scriptural knowledge is not leading to enthusiasm for serving the Lord, then that scriptural knowledge is nothing but a decoration of a dead body. So therefore, the Sankhya Yoga involves actually analytical study of the matter and spirit, but the ultimate conclusion of Sankhya Yoga is actually surrendering to the Lord. So that's why we find that many times in the Bhagavatam, the devotees are called as Muni Sattama. Narada Muni is addressed as Muni Sattama in the first canto. The tenth canto, Parishit Maharaj addresses Shukdev Goswami as Muni Sattama. So Muni Sattama means, among the pure devotees of the Lord, Narada Muni, the chief, he has been described as the greatest of all philosopher devotees. Unless one has become a sufficiently learned philosopher by hearing the Vedanta philosophy from a bona fide guru, one cannot be a learned philosopher devotee. So one must be faithful, learned, and renounced. Otherwise, one cannot be a pure devotee. So in that sense, what Prabhupada is emphasizing over here is that Muni Sattama, Tama is a superlative degree. So Muni Tama means the greatest of the philosophers. So Sankhya Yoga involves analysis and lot of philosophy. But then simply being good in analysis, it's not the highest thing. One should also be Sattama. Sattama means one should be faithful to the Supreme Lord. One should be devoted to the Lord. So for both these qualities are mentioned. So that is why we find that an intelligent person generally wants to know about this is interested in the Sankhya Yoga, analytical study of the matter and spirit.
But one of the functions of intelligence should also be to understand the limitations of our intelligence. A person becomes truly intelligent when he understands the limitations of his intelligence and when he recognizes the supreme intelligence of Krishna. Then he actually becomes truly intelligent. In the beginning of 10th canto, when the earth was overburdened by so many demoniac kings, that time Mother Earth approaches Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is the presiding deity of the intelligence. So generally, intelligent people, because they are used to problem solving, they think that they can solve any problems. But Lord Brahma, being the presiding deity of intelligence, he actually understood the limitations of his intelligence. Oh, this particular problem, this is not within my capacity to solve. And then he actually goes to the shore of the Milk Ocean along with the demigods and takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we find that that intelligence also involves that understanding the limitations and our intelligence and limitations of our intelligence and recognizing the supreme intelligence of Krishna. And these are some points. Just want to share from the purport. So today being Shivaratri, I will just try to describe briefly about Lord Shiva. So about Lord Shiva, in regards to especially Lord Shiva's relationship with Krishna, we'll try to understand this in three points of view. The first is called the Tattva Gata Vichara. That means let us try to understand the relationship between Shiva and Krishna from a philosophical point of view, through philosophical consideration. Another is Aishwarya Gata Vichara. That means let us understand the Shiva's relation with Krishna in pastimes of Krishna in his majesty. And then Nara Gata Vichara, and the relationship between Krishna and Shiva in Lord's human-like pastimes. So firstly, regarding Tattva Gata Vichara, the scriptures say, especially Brahma Samhita and other scriptures, they say, what is the philosophical truth between Lord Shiva and Krishna? So, one of the Krishna's expansion is Mahasankarshan, and that Mahasankarshan's one of the expansion is Mahavishnu. And when Mahavishnu desires to create, then he glances, and that glance of Mahavishnu, it emanates in the form of the light which comes in between his eyebrows. So the light which comes from between his eyebrows, the reflection of that light, that is called as the Shambhu Linga. And Ramadevi, the goddess of fortune, the shadow of Ramadevi is called as the Yoni. The Lakshmi Devi is the shadow of Ramadevi or Lakshmi Devi is called as the Yoni. So when the Shambhu Linga and when the Yoni actually unite, then the creation actually starts. The Shambhu Linga is the shadow of the glance of Mahavishnu. And Yoni is the shadow of the Ramadevi. So another explanation given is that Mahavishnu has got two potencies. One is the instrumental potency, another is the ingredient potency. So the simple example is that suppose a potter is making a pot. So the desire of the potter to make a pot, that is called as the instrumental cause. And the different, he uses like the wheel, clay, mud and water. They are like the ingredients used to make the pot. So, so Mahavishnu has got the instrumental potency and the ingredient potency. So the instrumental potency takes its reflected form as yoni, and the ingredient potency takes its reflected form as the Shambhulinga. So when the Shambhulinga and the yoni, when they unite, then the creation starts. So this is just so that the living entities, they get the opportunity to come into the material world, they get an opportunity to, they get a material body, they get an opportunity to perform devotional service, they get an opportunity to exercise their free will in trying to enjoy independently from Krishna, the creation actually starts. So therefore, in that sense, from philosophical point of view, Shambhulinga is the reflection of the glands of Mahavishnu, and Yoni is the reflection of the Ramadevi. And also other places are explained. We have the famous verse from the Brahma Samhita: Kshiram yata dadi vikara visesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pratagasti heto yaha shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyat govinda madhi purusham tamakam bhajami. Just like milk gets transformed into yogurt, similarly the Supreme Lord, he gets transformed, he gets transformed into actually Lord Shiva for the purpose of annihilation. Of course, Acharya has explained here, in this analogy, milk getting transformed into yogurt, milk actually becomes transformed into yogurt. But when we are saying that, when this analogy is used to actually explain the Shiva Tattva, it is not that Krishna or the Supreme Lord or Vishnu becomes transformed into Shiva. It is showing that Vishnu is the cause of Shiva. In the case of milk, it actually gets transformed into yogurt. But this analogy is meant to show that just like milk is the cause of the yogurt, similarly Vishnu or Krishna is the cause of Lord Shiva. Because the Lord never becomes transformed into some other this one. Lord is like a Chintamani jewel. Chintamani jewel, it may transform any metal into a gold. But while transforming something into a gold, that means it becomes the cause of something becoming gold, but the Chintamani jewel does not get transformed. It remains as it is. So this analogy has to be understood. And this is regarding to the Tattva Gata Vichara. Another is regarding the Aishwarya Gata Vichara. Aishwarya Gata Vichara means the relationship between Lord Shiva and Krishna in Krishna's pastimes of majesty or in Vishnu's pastimes of majesty. So in that, there are several pastimes, like in the Vrikasura pastime, the Vrikasura, Lord Shiva gave benediction to Vrikasura and Vrikasura came to attack Lord Shiva. And then in that pastime we find how Lord Shiva accepts his subordination to Vishnu. Lord Shiva actually, he starts running away from Vrikasura and then finally he takes shelter of Vishnu. And then Vishnu comes in the form of a small brahmachari boy. And then he tricks Vrikasura to actually, he tells, you can't rely on Lord Shiva, that better you test yourself by putting your hand on your own head. So in this pastime, we can see how Lord Shiva subordinate position to Krishna. That is actually clearly explained. And also in the Banasura story, Lord Shiva was fighting on behalf of Banasura. And Krishna was fighting in order to get back Aniruddha. And then in that pastime also, when Lord Shiva releases the Shiva Jwara and Krishna releases the Vishnu Jwara, and then the Shiva Jwara is subdued by the Vishnu Jwara, and then Lord Shiva Jwara offers so many beautiful prayers to the Krishna. In that pastime also we find that in these pastimes, Lord Shiva is clearly accepting that Krishna or Vishnu is his worshipable Lord, worshipable deity. And other pastimes like even in the Paundraka story. So in the different pastimes of in the Lord's pastimes of majesty that Lord Shiva accepts Vishnu or Krishna as his worshipable deity. And the third consideration is Naravat Gata Vichara. That means in Lord's human-like pastimes. In Lord's human-like pastimes, Shiva takes a superior position. Shiva actually offers benedictions to even to Supreme Lord who has taken a human-like form. For example, when Krishna was a small child in Vrindavan, sometimes Shiva would come and give benedictions to actually Krishna when he was a small child. And sometimes some Puranas it is explained that in Dwaraka, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Krishna worshipped Lord Shiva in order to get a son through Jambavati. And in another, in Ramayana also, Lord Ram, before he wanted to build a bridge, he wanted to actually get the blessings of Lord Shiva. He made a linga and he worshipped Lord Shiva. And also after killing Ravana when he came, he worshipped Lord Shiva in order to please Lord Shiva, that he has killed a devotee of Lord Shiva. So in these pastimes, because the Lord is playing a human role, he worships Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva, he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Like for example, when Lord Ram was worshipping Lord Shiva, so that time the common people assembled and they started saying, so we see that Shiva is the worshipable Lord of even Lord Ram. So then at that time, the demigods, they made a voice from the sound, they made a voice from the sky, and they said that, no, Shiva is the Lord Ram is a god, and Shiva is also god, and both are actually same, both are on the same platform. So then hearing the common people's opinion, who said that Shiva is the Lord of Lord Ram, and hearing the opinion of demigods that Ram, Shiva, all are in the same position, then Lord Shiva appeared there, and then he actually told everyone that actually Lord Ram is my master. My worshipable deity is Lord Ram, and then he revealed like that. So in that sense, so therefore, unless we understand the these three considerations, Tattva Gata Vichara, we find Lord Shiva is, Shambhulinga is a reflection of the glance of Mahavishnu, and Yoni is the reflection of Ramadevi, and when they unite for the purpose of creation, and in Aishwarya Gata Vichara in Lord's pastimes of majesty, and Naravat Gata Vichara in Lord's human-like pastimes. So unless we clearly understand these things, we may not be able to, we may misunderstand the position of Lord Shiva with Krishna. So Lord Shiva's worshipable deity is Krishna. And another thing in regards to the post and the personality of Lord Shiva. The post of Lord Shiva is that Lord Shiva is playing the role of the Lord of annihilation. He is in charge of the mode of ignorance. And what is the personality of Lord Shiva? So it is said that when Krishna desired to perform the Rasa Leela, from his left side, from his left chest, Srimati Radharani appeared. And from his right chest, Gopishwar Mahadev appeared. So Lord Shiva appeared. So then this Gopishwar Mahadev, he also wanted to take part in the Ras Leela. So he performed intense austerities and pleased Paurnamasi. And Paurnamasi said that Paurnamasi took Lord Shiva and made him actually dip in the Brahma Kunda. And then Lord Shiva assumed the form of a gopi. And then he entered the arena of Ras Leela in the form of a gopi. And he was hiding somewhere. So at that time, then the Krishna and the gopis felt that there is some stranger present here. And then they started searching. They found this gopi. And they asked so many questions to this gopi. What is your name? What is your father's name? Who is your husband? What is your father-in-law, mother-in-law? There are so many questions. And then Lord Shiva couldn't answer. And they actually slapped Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva's cheeks became swollen. And then she actually took shelter of Purnamasi, that please give me shelter. Hereafter I don't want to enter Rasleela. And then Purnamasi came, and Purnamasi told the gopis, please actually have your mercy on this gopi. I only bless this gopi. So then Krishna and the gopis actually showed their mercy on this gopi. And then Krishna told that from here onwards, now onwards, you will be able to guard this Rasleela arena. Your service is Gopishwar Mahadev. You will be able to guarding this Rasleela arena. So one Gaudiya Vaishnava says that Gopishwar Mahadev is the original and pure form of Lord Shiva, who is performing the service of guarding the arena of Rasleela. And all the other forms of Lord Shiva, they are all expansions of the Gopishwar Mahadev, or expansions and expansions of Gopishwar Mahadev. So, as a personality, Lord Shiva is assisting Krishna in his Rasleela. Even Lord Shiva is assisting Lord Ram in the form of Hanumanji. So, as a personality, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they are actually meditating on the Ashtakaliya pastimes of Krishna. And they are meditating on the eightfold confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, this is the personality of Lord Shiva, how he is actually rendering service to Krishna and Lord Ram and different this thing. But as a post, if we find, he is actually the Lord of actually annihilation. He is the Lord of, he is in charge of the mode of ignorance. It is said that a living entity, when he performs, when he practices Varnashram Dharma for 100 lifetimes, he occupies the post of Lord Brahma. And then, when a person perfectly performs the duties of Lord Brahma for 100 lifetimes, then he becomes qualified to occupy the post of a Rudra, who is one of the expansions of Lord Shiva. So this clearly shows that the post of Lord Shiva is superior to the post of Lord Brahma. And another thing, like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni comes and glorifies Lord Shiva, you are the dearmost devotee of Krishna. That time, Lord Shiva actually becomes embarrassed. He says that, I am not the dearmost devotee of Krishna. See, I am actually, I wear the skulls and I smear my body with the ashes. And the Supreme Lord engages me in preaching the Mayavad philosophy. And sometimes I give benedictions to the demons who are opposed to the Supreme Lord. So what kind of a devotee? I am not. I aspire to be a dear devotee of the Lord, but I am not the dear devotee. And then he glorifies Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is a very dear devotee of the Lord. So he says, Prahlad Maharaj, when he glorifies Prahlad Maharaj, he says, Prahlad Maharaj, you see, he is always absorbed in the Navavidha Bhakti. Although he is the king, but he doesn't get involved in the administrative affairs. In fact, he just manages the administrative affairs with the help of the ministers. He just absorbed in the Navavidha Bhakti. And Prahlad Maharaj, he has a personal association of Vamanadev. Vamanadev, Narsingadev, they came to actually give their association to Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, Vamanadev, Prahlad Maharaj is constantly having the association of Vamanadev with the Sutal Loka. He is absorbed in the Navavidha Bhakti, whereas me, I am associated with the mode of ignorance. I have to perform the service of annihilation. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is superior to me. So, the Acharyas say that, actually, Lord Shiva, if you see, Lord Shiva is superior to Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj has no access to Vrindavan. But Lord Shiva, he is actually guarding the Rasleela pastimes. He is actually meditating on the Ashtakaliya Leela of the Radha Krishna pastimes. So from the point of the personality, superior to even Prahlad Maharaj. But if we see from the, because Lord Shiva is holding the post of the annihilation, so actually associating with the mode of ignorance, he has to perform this service. So Lord Shiva is saying that, oh, Prahlad Maharaj is superior to me because he doesn't have to do any of these services. He just absorbed in Avavidha Bhakti. So from that point of view, he is actually glorifying Prahlad Maharaj as superior to him. Lastly, Jiva Goswami in the Paramatma Sandarbha, he explains that people worship Lord Shiva in five different ways. So some people worship Lord Shiva as the independent supreme personality of Godhead. And this is the concept of the Shaivites. And secondly, some people worship Lord Shiva as the presiding deity of Tamoguna. And thirdly, some people worship Lord Shiva as the devotee of Vishnu, or the greatest devotee of Vishnu. And the fourth way of worshipping Lord Shiva is that they worship Lord Shiva as the partial manifestation of Vishnu. And the fifth way is that the people worship Lord Shiva as the seat occupied by Vishnu, or it means an agent or representative of Vishnu manifesting the powers of Vishnu. So in this fifth way, one would basically worship Vishnu through Shiva. So the acharyas say that the first way of worshipping Lord Shiva, considering him as an independent supreme Lord, that is something actually forbidden. That is forbidden, that will lead to degradation. And the second way of worshipping Lord Shiva, considering him as a presiding deity of Tamoguna, by that one can attain only material benefits, which are temporary. And third, fourth and fifth way of worshipping Lord Shiva, considering him as a devotee of Vishnu, as a Gunavatara, and as an agent or representative of Vishnu manifesting the powers of Vishnu, in this third, fourth and fifth way, these three ways of worship can award the highest benefit. Further, later in the Paramatma Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami takes four verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which apparently glorify Shiva as the Supreme, and then he gives a proper understanding of those verses. So one verse is from 4th canto, 7th chapter, 54th verse in the Daksha Yajna. So Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva. Then he was cursed, etc. And then at the end of that whole episode, when Daksha performs the Yajna again, then Lord Vishnu appears. And Lord Vishnu, finally he gives instruction to Daksha. So he says that please understand that those people who see no difference between myself, Brahma and Shiva, only they can attain supreme peace. So Lord Vishnu is saying that those who see no difference between me, Brahma and Shiva can attain the peace. And also there is a similar verse which comes in the 12th canto, the Markandeya Rishi's episode. So when Markandeya Rishi was absorbed in meditation on Vishnu, Lord Shiva comes in front of him, but Markandeya Rishi does not recognize him. And then Lord Shiva enters into his actually heart and then gives darshan to Markandeya Rishi. And then Markandeya Rishi opens his eyes. And then Lord Shiva speaks to Markandeya Rishi, please understand, there is not even inch of difference. There is not even atom of difference between myself, Vishnu and Brahma. So these two verses apparently say that there is no difference between Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. So Jiva Goswami says that in order to understand the actual meaning of these verses, we have to understand the principle of cause and effect. The principle of cause and effect is that the effect is non-different from the cause, and the effect is dependent on the cause, but the cause is not identical with the effect. And the cause is independent of the effect. This is called the principle of cause and effect. He calls it a satkaryavada, is a technical term. So because Lord Shiva is the effect and Vishnu is the cause. From Vishnu comes Brahma, and from Brahma's eyebrows Lord Shiva is born. So Vishnu is the cause of Shiva. So the principle of cause and effect says that Lord Shiva is non-different from Vishnu, because and Lord Shiva is dependent on Vishnu, but Vishnu is independent of Shiva, and Vishnu is not identical with Shiva. This is the principle of cause and effect. Just like when we say Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavanmam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. After many, many births, a person who is really knowledgeable understands that Lord Vasudeva is all in all, and then he surrenders to me. Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. So when a person understands that everything is actually, the whole world is actually non-different from Vasudeva, what does it mean? It means the whole world, whatever we see, all the living entities, whatever we see, they are all the energies of Vasudeva. They are coming from Vasudeva, but it does not mean that Vasudeva is identical with them. If Vasudeva is identical with them, you can offer obeisances to any particular object. You can offer obeisances to any particular living entity. No. But Krishna is saying, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. They understand Vasudeva to be everything, but they surrender to me. They don't surrender to any object or any living entity or something. They surrender to me. So this is the principle of cause and effect we have to understand. So if we understand that, then we understand the right meaning of this verses. Then another verse which comes in the third canto, 14th chapter, when Kashyapa Muni is speaking to Diti, Diti wanted to unite with Kashyapa Muni at an improper time. That time Kashyapa Muni is telling that this is a time where Lord Shiva is roaming around along with his associates. And if we unite, we will give birth to a demoniac soul. So that time he says that even demigods like Brahma, they actually follow the rules set by Lord Shiva. They don't neglect the rules set by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the cause of everything. Lord Shiva is the described as the supreme. He is the cause of the universe, and he is the master of the goals like Brahma, master of the gods like Brahma. So in that way, Kashyapa Muni is telling to Diti. But this verse also appears like as if Lord Shiva is the supreme. But actually, Jiva Goswami says that we have to understand the context of the pastime. In the context of the pastime is that it is not that Kashyapa Muni is trying to establish who is the Paratattva, who is the supreme. But Kashyapa Muni's main intention is that this is not the right time for uniting. Therefore, he somehow wants to dissuade Diti by telling about the position of Lord Shiva. But he is not trying to establish who is the supreme among the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So therefore, that it is important to keep the context in mind while interpreting the scripture. And then, Jiva Goswami takes up a fourth verse, which comes in the 8th canto, 7th chapter. In the Samudra Manthan, when the poison comes out, then all the demigods, they go to Lord Shiva, being advised by Lord Vishnu. So at that time, they glorify Lord Shiva that your effulgence cannot be understood, cannot be estimated even by Lord Vishnu and Brahma. So this verse clearly shows that Lord Shiva is superior to Brahma and Vishnu. Then Jiva Goswami says that there is a principle in the Shastra which says that Mahimna Stuyamana Hi Deva Viryena Vardante. That means that gods excel in power when they are praised through glorious words. So sometimes when you want somebody to perform a very difficult task, you basically cheer up that person. You glorify that person. Just like people cheer up the sports stars when they in a cricket match or in a football match like that. So here, because Lord Shiva is going to perform a very difficult task of swallowing that poison, Kalakuta poison, Therefore, the demigods are trying to cheer up Lord Shiva. Therefore, it should not be taken literally. And one may say, well, after all, Jiva Goswami must be biased. Whatever, when there is a Lord Shiva is supreme, maybe these Acharya, they are biased towards Lord Vishnu. They interpret somehow like this. One may say like that. But Jiva Goswami is not biased because there are several other verses which are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are spoken by Lord Shiva, in which he clearly declares Lord Vishnu's superiority over him. In the same episode of Samudra Manthan, Lord Vishnu is telling that when Lord Hari is pleased, then all the demigods, including myself, will be pleased. And another episode in the fifth canto, in the Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva is clearly establishing the superiority of Vishnu over him, clearly establishing the superiority of Sankarshan over him. And also in the Durvasa Muni's episode in the ninth canto, when Durvasa Muni approaches Lord Shiva, he says that, I cannot protect you. Lord Vishnu is superior to me, and you have offended a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and I don't have any jurisdiction over that. I don't have the power to protect you. So these verses are spoken by Lord Shiva himself. Therefore, Jiva Goswami is not biased in his explanation, but the Lord Shiva himself is speaking that. But then one may say that, oh, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is biased towards Vishnu. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is established as the Chakravarti among all the Pramanas, emperor among all the Pramanas, already in the beginning of the Tattva Sandarbha. How the Srimad Bhagavatam is established as the highest among the all the Pramanas. So therefore, the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not biased, they have the highest authority. And Jiva Goswami gives an alternative explanation of the verses spoken by demigods when they met Lord Shiva during the Samudra Manthan episode. They said that, your effulgence cannot be understood even by Vishnu and Brahma. And the alternative meaning of this verse is that this is referring to the super soul within Shiva. That means, the effulgence of the super soul within you cannot be understood even by Vishnu. And the super soul within Shiva is actually Vishnu. Means the effulgence of Vishnu cannot be understood even by Vishnu. And that is true because Vishnu's glories are unlimited, that he cannot estimate his own glories. And there are several verses in support of that. In the last verse of the prayers of Vedas personified, 10.87.41, the personified Vedas, they conclude by saying that your glories are so unlimited that even you cannot estimate your glories. So in that sense, Jiva Goswami is giving an alternative explanation of the same verse and giving us the right understanding of the position of Vishnu over Shiva. And he also mentions that there are various other Puranas in which Lord Shiva is called as the Supreme, Brahma is called as the Supreme, or Ganesh is called as the Supreme, or Indra is called as the Supreme. What is the purpose of these Puranas? The purpose of these Puranas is that because people in the lower modes, they cannot relate with the Nirguna reality. So therefore, in order to elevate them from their level, which they can relate with, so these Puranas, they glorify different other demigods. And also for the purpose of perpetuating the cycle of creation. In fact, Lord Shiva tells to Kartikeya, the statement is there in the Skanda Puran, and Lord Shiva says that in scriptures related to Shiva, one should accept only those portions that support the conclusions presented in scriptures related to Vishnu. Vishnu alone is supreme, and knowledge of him is the sole means to liberation. This is the verdict of the scriptures, and everything else is only for the sake of bewilderment. And then, there is an instance in which once Lord Shiva was actually talking about how to observe the Ekadashi Vrata. And he says that during Ekadashi Vrata, one should not actually see the atheistic people, one should not associate with the atheistic people or the Pashandis. And then he gives a description of the list of the Pashandis. He says one of the Pashandis is that those who are some Pashandis, they actually smear their body with the ashes. They wear a garland of skulls. Then Parvati hears that, but that means because Lord Shiva himself is having that appearance. But then she asks that, but then why do you wear skulls? Why do you wear actually smear your body with the ashes? Then Lord Shiva says, previously, long back, some of the demons headed by Namuchi, they became devoted to Vishnu and they started following some of the Vedic principles. And because of that, the demigods were not able to subdue those demons. Sometimes the demons with the ulterior motive, they may actually worship Vishnu. The demigods were not able to subdue those demons. So then the demigods approached Vishnu. That we are not able to subdue these demons because they are actually wearing the dress of a Vaishnava. Therefore, we are not able to subdue them. Then Lord Vishnu told Shiva, now you actually dress like a Pashandi and you start propagating the, you actually interpret the scriptures and in this way you mislead these demons. And then from that time onwards, Lord Shiva took that appearance of actually smearing this body with the ashes, wearing the skull of the garland of the skulls. In this way, he misled the demons. So, in that sense, we see Lord Shiva is performing a thankless task. So, we discuss regarding Lord Shiva's position, relation with Krishna from three considerations: Aishwarya Gata Vichara, Tattva Gata Vichara, Naravat Gata Vichara. And then we discuss Lord Shiva's personality and the post. And then we took four verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which apparently glorify Lord Shiva, and what the true understanding of those verses. And then we also discussed how do we actually understand the other Puranas which glorify Lord Shiva or other demigods, the Supreme. So I'll stop here. Krantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.